This is Growing the Valley, a podcast by the University of California, Agriculture and Natural Resources. I'm one of your hosts, Luke Milliron, Farm Advisor for Butte, Tehama, and Glenn Counties.
I'm your other host, Phoebe Gordon, Orchard Farm Advisor for Madera and Merced Counties.
It's time for our next 1 minute challenge. I am Phoebe Gordon.
And I'm Luke Milliron, and we are going to have a challenge over the orchard tasks for the month of April.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be dropping on April Fool's Day, so it's up to our listeners to decide if we are...
We're definitely full of malarkey.
That's much better than what I was going to say. Okay, so I feel like I went first last time. I have no idea.
You did go first last time. Every time that you put up the option of who should go first, I'm like, Phoebe, how about you go first? I think you go first just about every time.
Okay. Yeah, in case you guys can't tell, we're also recording together today in person at a pomology research conference. Okay, so since we're actually in person, we can make sure that the other is not cheating.
I cheat every time.
I know you do.
So
we wondered that last time. Okay, so Luke, you're going to be covering walnuts and prunes, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I'm showing him my timer. It's set to 1 minute.
Okay, let the record show.
Okay, so 3, 2, 1, go.
For walnut production in April, pest and disease monitoring and management is going to be critical. Blight, obviously a big problem, will require careful vigilance if wet conditions continue. Where there's a history of orchard infestation and high rainfall is forecasted, you could consider a first spray as soon as 20 to 40% catkin expansion. For bot, consider waiting for a storm that brings at least a quarter inch of rain and temps of at least 50 degrees. And for codling moth, traps should be out already, and you're anticipating a first flight biofix that's going to trigger that start of accumulation of degree days to inform treatment timing. In prunes, April is a time of monitoring. Monitoring for San Jose scale, peach twig borer, oblique banded leaf roller, aphid, and the water status, as well as trying to determine what kind of crop you have.
Okay. You actually finished right on time. Great job. So I guess, is there anything that you've noticed in walnuts and prunes that's a bit unusual this year?
I'm kind of anticipating that everything is in this state of delay and, you know, this late bloom timing this year. Monitoring, we're both monitoring prune bloom right now, and it's much later than it has been in recent years. Yeah. It's been very slow with these wet and cool conditions. You've actually had different conditions when it comes to the prunes.
Well, it's been wet and cool for us too, and I think my site started to come into bloom a little bit earlier, and so I haven't monitored this week because, you know, I'm up in Davis, and so my assistant's monitoring for me. But what I was noticing is that once those flowers started open, they were going really fast. But it's been a little bit warmer and sunnier now that most of the rain has stopped in my part of the valley. But it's definitely a very late start to the bloom.
A late start, but like you say, we would anticipate it to be a relatively fast bloom just because there's been so much chill accumulation this winter compared to many winters. So we'll see what you say about almonds, but certainly in prunes, we'll see what these wet and cool conditions due to the phenology and timing of when we put out our first irrigation, first round of fertilizer, and certainly up in the north, there's that issue of wanting to put on a fertigation, but the fields are, you know, still wet. So, you know, that's a concern of mine heading into April here.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And then just one last note on walnuts, something I've been writing a lot about recently is blight management. Now we have these, you know, three materials that are efficacious for walnut blight management. So coming up with these two material combinations of Kasumin and Mancozeb and copper. And now we're actually able to form a rotation of these different modes of action and have some resistance management in walnut blight, which is great. Mm-hmm. So Phoebe, are you ready to school me and show us what is going on in almond and pistachio production in the month of April?
Always ready to school you, Luke.
Alrighty. I will set up the timer as well.
Okay.
And Phoebe, you can start in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so it seems like we are still not out of the wet weather yet for the spring. So pay attention to weather to see if you need to continue to do sprays for some of those leaf diseases like anthracnose, scab, or shot hole. Pheromone traps for navel orangeworm and peach twig borer should already have been gone out. So I guess if you haven't already done so and you want to, get them out as soon as possible. So now that bloom has finally finished, start monitoring for leaf-footed bug. It's a wet year, hold back on irrigation, and by the end of the month, if it warms up, start monitoring for spider mites. Moving on to pistachio, it's a late bloom this year, so make sure that you're treating for Botrytis panicle and shoot blight if the history in your orchard is there. If those rains and cool conditions consider treating for botrytis. Navel orangeworm should go out by, monitoring should go out by April 1st, and also leaf-footed bug monitor in your pistachio orchards. Oh, 2 seconds to spare.
Very good,
Thank
Phoebe.
You. I was rushing near the end.
You were rushing during the end.
I was.
Did you get everything on pistachios you wanted to?
I did.
You get to? You got through your list?
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. We won't admit that I did not remotely get through my list, but
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess my observations for almonds. So we had a lot of flower blast, at least in the San Joaquin Valley. Some orchards were hit really hard, and so I know that I sent in some samples to our pathologist and Florent Trias at Kearney. And so some samples I got a lot of Pseudomonas syringae, some I only got botrytis, and so it seems kind of like we might have had this synergistic attack of these two organisms since it's been really cool and wet during bloom. So I guess that's what makes this year unusual, aside from the cool weather. I've noticed that a lot of these trees had some flowers that kind of continue to hang on for longer than they normally would, but I didn't notice bloom in almonds was any later this year than last year, at least in Chowchilla.
I do have a question with those blasted appearing flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So even on the ones that were infected by botrytis, you got botrytis back on those samples, there was no evidence of sporulation. You weren't thinking that that was a brown rot strike.
The best way to do is look under a microscope or do what I did, which is take it to someone who knows what they're doing and actually get it plated out. The symptoms that I was noticing in the field were these, sometimes it was just classic like bacterial blast where you have these flowers that are shriveled up on the tree with the petals still attached. Sometimes I'd get what would look like almost like the petals just kind of wilted down and they're hanging straight down from the flower. The later ones that I came on, it's just these little shriveled jackets and the base of the flower basically still clinging onto the tree. And so I was never able to tell them apart in the field because I'd be like, it looks like it might be bacterial blast, but I'll take it in and, you know, there'd be some botrytis in it, you know. But those were the symptoms from what I saw in the field. And so some orchards were hit really hard where you barely see any nuts on the tree. Some, they look like they're going to be okay. And it's just, it was pretty random as to what sort of orchards were hit.
It's something we've been talking a lot with our colleagues at the meeting we're at, is these wet and cool conditions, you know, wet and cold ground.
Mm-hmm.
That has a self-proclaimed and proud nutrition nerd seeing symptoms on the trees associated just with uptake.
Mm-hmm.
Of nutrients being compromised.
Yeah, so it's important to remember that roots need oxygen to do what they need to do, because what's made during photosynthesis, like those short-term energy compounds, are unstable. So what the trees do is they move sugars around, and so the roots need to respire just like we do to make energy. And so if the ground's cold, that slows down rates of respiration. If it's saturated, there's no oxygen, and so the roots aren't respiring. And so they're not taking up nutrients, and they're not growing. And so you can see unthrifty growth, yellowing leaves. You can even see symptoms of iron deficiency. And it's not, I mean, the trees are suffering and they are technically deficient, but it's not because the nutrients aren't there, it's because the trees can't take them up. And those can maybe also look like Phytophthora. Yeah, you might see some yellowing leaves with this cool, wet spring. And, you know, also because it's cool and wet, you know, we're up in Davis. While I was interviewing someone else, like, there was a huge downpour. Rain's still falling from the sky. Maybe, you know, I guess I don't know what it's like in Kern County. But, you know, these are classic times when you can hold back on that irrigation, aside from a fertigation, because you need to get those nutrients out. You know, I guess I did forget to mention something for almonds, but I had 2 seconds left, so this counts. You know, you got to get the first nitrogen application out, but those fertigation events are much shorter, so you're not dumping a bunch of water on the trees. But I guess with my extra nitrogen application, we probably tied, so I guess we'll call it a draw.
I think that's what I was leaning towards. I think we're going to call this month a tie.
Okay.
So thanks for playing, Phoebe.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I won.
Thanks for listening to Growing the Valley, a UCANR podcast. You can find out more about this episode at our website, growingthevalleypodcast.com.
We would like to thank the Almond Board of California and the California Pistachio Research Board for providing funding. We would also like to thank my sister, Muriel Gordon, for writing and recording our theme music. Thank you.